Okay, it's a figurative mess. Well, maybe it's a literal mess. I'm not sure. But recycling has changed so much over the past year, year and a half with what's happened with China and refusing to accept the amount of recycling we have. So there's a re-education process that's happening. And part of that is where you can become a master recycler and learn all about what needs to be done. And Kelly Bell is here with us with the Lane County Coordinator for the Master Recycler Program. Kelly, how are you?
I'm really great. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. Now, let's start off with first what happened before we get into the class itself. What happened with recycling? I know we've had some people in here before talked about it, you know, with China changing the amount of
acceptable contamination.
Yeah, that's what it is. They lowered that to a very small percentage, seemingly.
Unattainable.
Yeah, unattainable.
Yeah.
Basically, they said, we don't want your stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Which is why it feels so abrupt to us, is they really, really wanted it until they all of a sudden didn't. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say China hasn't been signaling. They have been signaling for many years, over a decade, that they need cleaner material and they want cleaner material. Some enforcement started happening about 5 years ago, and this is just the latest example of that.
Well, I remember when I first started recycling, you know, it was, you know, certain levels of plastics could go in there,
mm-hmm.
and then certain levels couldn't. And then all of a sudden it was like, and you were very careful about what you put in your bins.
Mm-hmm. And we separated everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it got like, well, I don't know if we got too used to it. Or we just got to like, oh, well, I'm not throwing this in the trash. I'll throw it in my recycling.
Yeah.
And we caused the problem ourselves.
Yeah, to a degree. Yes, that's true. The bin where all of the recycling is mixed together was for safety and efficiency. So drivers wouldn't be cut by broken glass. So more people would participate. So bulky things could stay intact, which was easier for separation. One of the just unforeseen and unforeseen by most consequences is that people started viewing that bin, a lot of us, as a sort of the magic box, I've heard it called. You know, I'll just put this in the magic box and somebody will figure it out.
Right. I don't know if it belongs in there or not, but somebody smarter than me will know if it belongs in there or not.
Right. And there are, you know, examples in our life where you give somebody, you know, let them refuse you. And that's kind of how you do business. But in recycling, it really doesn't work well. So what we're running an ad right now through EARS that talks about some just very key things that don't belong in the commingle bin. And you may be shocked to know this, but people put clothing in the recycle bin.
Yeah, I would find that hard to believe.
Clothing.
Yeah.
And it's frequent. People put Christmas string lights in the recycle bin.
Oh, my.
That's a thing. And it's really problematic because part of how commingle is separated is paper floats over one part of the machinery and all the containers are supposed to fall through that same type of machinery. And what happens when you put clothing and Christmas lights and plastic bags, which is very common in the recycle and also doesn't belong, is those stringy things wrap around the sorting equipment. And so instead of the containers falling through to their appropriate belt, they can't. Mm. And so now plastic and metal and all other kind of containers are traveling with the paper, and you could have done a really great job cleaning that out and it could be completely appropriate. But because of where it's falling in the cycle, it's at hour 4 or hour 5 when all these screens have become clogged, that plastic container is not going to travel with the paper. And even though it's a clean piece of plastic and completely appropriate in the system, now it's a contaminant in a paper bale. Mm-hmm. So when China's talking about acceptable level of contamination, they're not just talking about not cleaning your material. They're also talking about the wrong things married together. When they buy paper, they want to buy paper and not 10% plastic containers in their paper.
Well, you watch shows like How It's Made, and you mm-hmm. watch these things with all these robots and doing this conveyor stuff and that, which obviously can get pretty intricate.
Yeah.
That probably hasn't come to the recycling folks on a major scale yet, has it?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because there is a major manufacturer of sorting technology, which is what this is called, in the mature recovery facilities. There's a major manufacturer of leading edge technology for that based in Eugene, Oregon. It's called Bulk Handling Systems. And they have robotic machinery that can sort things very quickly and very efficiently. But it is costly, of course. And recycling the material isn't very valuable until you do something with it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's been hard for folks in the Northwest to think about investing on that high-tech level. We have a lot of material recovery facilities in Portland, but none of them are very high-tech. And they're all competing for the same relatively small amount of material. I mean, the reason we live in Oregon is because we have a lot of elbow room, right? Mm-hmm. We don't live in New York City, where they have a denser population and a more dense volume of material. We're really good recyclers in Oregon, but relative to other places that have more manufacturing hubs, we don't create a lot of material. It feels like it to us.
Well, it sure seems to me like when I take my trash out, that I'm certainly collecting a lot of it.
Yeah.
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 So, you know, people need to understand, and I've talked with Dave Twombly at Central Coast Disposal uh-huh. here, and we've had this conversation before, and people get mad at him
yeah.
because he can't take
right.
what they're putting in their bins.
Right.
And even some have gone so far as to change to another company
right.
and then find out that they don't take them either.
That's right.
And so it's like trying to educate people that just because it's plastic
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean you shouldn't just throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
And it's a sad thing, but
yeah.
that's kind of the way it is.
Well, there hasn't been very much pushback. And it's always put us, you know, educators in an awkward position because we, you know, exhort people to keep things clean and only put the correct things in. But if they're not getting a lot of pushback, or the risk is, I'll lose my customer base if I'm too pushy about this. That's a real thing. And we don't have guaranteed contracts and guaranteed flow. You have two competing haulers in Florence. We have five or six in Eugene, and then the five MRFs in Portland. They're all competing. And this is probably not a commodity people should be competing for. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not helping.
Well, but don't tell that to the two businesses here. They're trying to make a dollar from it.
So, that's true. Know. That's true. Yeah. So if there were more education, more pushback, and we're trying to help, you know, provide that, I think we could help clean up the system. But it's part of the problem isn't you know, just us. We didn't make this stuff. We bought this stuff, mm-hmm. and I didn't invent sippy pouches. But they come into my home or they come into my school, and now what?
Right.
Recycling program hasn't changed in any way since 1996. But the packaging has changed enormously. I have an example out of my car right now I'm bringing to a meeting. It is a clear, beautiful, clean, clear plastic container that is body molded to hold 10 apples. And it's these perfect spheres. Mm-hmm. And that came from a big box store. What am I going to do with that? It's clean, right. right? It should be able to be recycled, right? But it's not. We don't have a mechanism for that. So even though we have lots of plastic in our life, there hasn't been a mechanism put into place to take these additional things. And so either we need to stop getting these things, or someone needs to take responsibility. Who better to take responsibility, in my view, than the people who manufacture it? They know what the formulas are. They know what the plastic is made of. They're very protective and secretive about what their formulas are. Well, if that's the case, and they want their privacy and they want their patents protected, and they don't want to share that information with recyclers, then they should probably take a more active role in collecting this back for recycling. That's my opinion anyway.
Well, and you see that some of the things, some of the packaging that has been created is a lot of times even unnecessary. Like you said, a flat that holds apples.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, why? I mean,
why?
You know, it could easily be made out of paper, you know.
Or you could bring your own bag and put apples in.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's this sort of call and response. One of the things that packaging does really well, other than market the product, because that clear packaging is marketing. It's showing how beautiful the apples are and how perfect they are.
Although they're covered with wax. But
yeah, exactly. And they're all uniform size. Mm-hmm. And now all the apples that got rejected that aren't in that container are much larger or much smaller. And, you know, where are those apples? You know, it creates packaging, preserves the food that's in it, but it also creates a lot of waste on the back end because of food that's been rejected because it doesn't fit in this packaging. So,
of course, now I'm only hearing, all I'm hearing is Joni Mitchell going on in my head, give uh-huh. me the spots on my apples.
Yeah, yeah.
And leave me the birds and the bees.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know if we've become accustomed to perfection. And if the apple was bruised and because it wasn't protected by this packaging, would we not then buy the apple? There's a kind of a shift that needs to happen, a kind of a cultural shift, I think, back to reasonable expectations of the condition of our food and, you know, preferring taste over looks and preferring, you know, low waste over what do you do with this stuff?
Well, we're a ready-to-use, ready-to-eat society.
Yeah, now.
You know, so, I mean, for example, I have friends in North Carolina in a huge apple community.
Right.
They'll go to the apple farmers after the harvest and get all the apples on the ground, yeah, and they'll make applesauce or apple butter out of what's on the ground. A lot of people wouldn't touch that.
Right.
But they're not in the ready-to-eat mode.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the, how can we make this and use this mm-hmm. and have it be a good product for us to use? But
yeah,
we go to the store and we're like, okay, I want this ready. I want to be able to stick it in the microwave for 30 seconds. I want to be able to eat it.
You know, I wish I had the sensibility that my granddaughter does. She's 5, and it takes her forever to eat. She eats like a European. She really takes her time, and it looks to me, and it looks to her father, like she's dawdling, when really she's probably eating at a natural pace.
Right, at a normal pace.
You know,
pace,
at a reasonable pace, instead of chowing down really quickly like her grandma does. You know, everything is so fast, and we've kind of used up the time where we can take our time and pick things at the farmer's market and store things carefully and not have to worry that we need good packaging so we can be rough and quick with things,
right,
you know. So, yeah, we're not going to solve this today. No. But
because we've done that, we've created more trash.
We've created so much more trash. And without any thought to, now what? What do you do with it? That's kind of a short-sightedness in our kind of consumer society. We've always favored the entrepreneur. We've always favored the businessman. We've never wanted to get in the way of business. But one thing I don't think we've paid enough attention to is what is the end result of what you're putting out in the marketplace and who's responsible for whatever the consequences are. Right now, people are becoming aware of plastic in the waterways,
right,
and that's getting people's attention. And so we're going to seize, educators are going to seize on that opportunity to try to
inform,
encourage, re-educate, give some suggestions of some things that we can do differently.
We're talking with Kathy Bell. She is with Lane County in the Master's Recycler Program, the coordinator for that. Let's talk about the course now.
Oh, yes.
You guys are putting on a course. I believe it starts in January at Lane Community College.
Yeah.
Tell me what folks can glean from this course.
Well, it's a real peek behind the curtain because this is a topic, waste and recycling. People want to do it and they feel very strongly about it, but maybe don't know how it actually operates, how it functionally operates. And so we bring in 24 experts in the field from government, nonprofit, and business sectors to talk about the piece that they do that's related to waste prevention, safe disposal, or recycling. And we have this class twice a year in Eugene, but we bring it to the city of Florence at LCC once every 2 or 3 years, and it's coming up again in January. So this is really good timing. This is a very active, very civically engaged community. I always like coming to Florence because of that. And right now, because of the challenges we've had with plastics, there are a lot of groups that are engaged in trying to find solutions. What are we going to do with this stuff? And those are the folks I definitely think would really enjoy this class and get a lot out of it. And the class is free in exchange for volunteering here in your own community.
Wow. And it's going to be, what, on a Tuesday night, I think?
Tuesday evening, 5:30 to 8:30. And it's for 9 consecutive Tuesdays in a row. So it goes January 8th through March 5th. And then we also have a couple of Saturday field trips. We bring a van out. And so we'll transport people into the Eugene-Springfield area for some tours a couple of days. And then we bring an expert out on another Saturday out to the Food Share Garden to give a compost demonstration.
Cool. Now, people need to go to Lane Community College to get this, or can they go somewhere? Where do they need to go to get registered for this?
They probably have some applications at LCC, but you can go online, lanecounty.org/master recyclers, and save a Word document, which is the application, and either email it to me or send it in the mail. I think you can probably get a paper copy at the transfer station on Rhododendron as well. And if you see Master Recyclers tabling at the Siuslaw Public Library, I think they're there once a week, you can get an application from them as well.
When a person is done with this class, what will they know?
Well, I think they will know more how the system works or doesn't. One of the things that's interesting about being a master recycler and taking this course is they get to hear all of the pieces of the puzzle. The experts may not even know how everything all interacts. They know their piece really well. But master recyclers get to see the whole system as it's working and perhaps where the gaps are, which will help them to help their neighbors, first of all. That's the main job, to help their neighbors do a better job recycling and preventing waste and getting information to their communities, but also hopefully to help us innovate, help us find solutions. You know, what are folks willing to do? Are we going to have to pay for recycling? You know, what's it going to look like, and what would work well?
All right, one last question, because, you know, it is December and Christmas is coming.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of packaging.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of trash.
Oh, yeah.
Do people need to know anything special for holiday shopping?
Well, I think that just remember that you can recycle any number of things, but only certain things go in the recycle bin itself. So when you're thinking about Christmas and packaging from Christmas, the types of things that would go in your regular recycle bin are the plain cardboard, wrapping paper that's not foil, but none of the ribbon goes in there. That doesn't go. The Christmas lights don't go. And the styrofoam doesn't. So if you want to recycle Christmas lights, you can get them to Next Step Recycling in Eugene. And they're doing a fundraiser. What they get paid for in scrap, they donate to a charity, which is really cool for a nonprofit to do. If you have really clean block foam, you can drop that off at St. Vincent de Paul for recycling. And they have a machine in Eugene where it gets shipped to, and they chop it and condense it, and they truck it to California, and it gets put into manufacturing of things like picture frames and architectural molding and that sort of thing.
Very nice. Kelly Bell, thank you so much, and we all could learn a lot from this, I'm sure.
I hope to see you in January. It's really fascinating.
Thank you so much. Next up on Our Town, we'll take a look at a battle for property rights with Kay King on the November edition of Our Town.